Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always. It's Relationship Therapy with Rachel Cook.
Yes, and we are going to talk about cheating. Can it be forgiven? Well, the data says yes. And is it always the cheater's fault? Well, yeah, it is. But our resident sex and relationship expert, Rachel Cook, is on the line now to talk about the stigma of cheating. Rachel, good morning.
Hiya, Jen. How are you?
I'm very well. Delighted to get stuck into this. So let's get going. What are the different kinds of cheating? Let's kick off with that.
Yeah, so these days people will generally divide it into physical, i.e. sexual, physically sexual cheating, and then you have emotional cheating, and then we also have the category of online or digital cheating.
Ooh.
Which is, you know, flirting, sexting, sharing intimate details via social media, chat rooms, those kind of things, or doing things like having a secret Tinder profile where you pretend to be single, stuff like that. So we've got physical, emotional, and digital.
That's a new one in the mix. I've never heard of that one. Okay.
Yeah.
What are the main reasons people cheat? And does it vary by age, gender, length of time? Let's talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, there are just so many reasons that people cheat. You know, I really can't say that there are main reasons. I would say it's quite common that people feel that they've gotten complacent in their relationship. You know, maybe they've been together a very long time. Maybe they're just not compatible, actually. But, you know, it's really common that one or both people, or however many people are in the relationship, are just not feeling like understood. They're not feeling cared about. They're not feeling the novelty and excitement and mystery. Maybe it's quite volatile, maybe it's become quite boring. So there really are a lot of reasons why people cheat, but it often also comes down to the fact that people don't have good communication skills. So they're not talking about their needs and their boundaries and their desires. They're not talking about sex. They're not talking about, you know, what it is that really matters to them. So they end up going and, you know, kind of consciously
finding
or unconsciously
elsewhere.
Seeking that elsewhere.
Or they're not being heard. I mean, is the person who cheated always the one in the wrong, would you say?
Well, I would say the person who cheats, you know, they're 100% responsible for their actions, for sure. But, you know, very rarely do I find that the other person in the relationship has been, you know, having a great time, really happy. You know, usually both people are pretty, you know, kind of worn out with the relationship or feeling like there's big kind of gaps or things missing. But, you know, sometimes it's that people are just not getting to spend quality time together, maybe because they're working so much and are so stressed, maybe because they've got children, you know, and obviously that can, you know, disproportionately fall. The pressure still falls in, you know, in heterosexual relationships, falls on women still massively in terms of the work with kids and the home. Obviously, that's changing a bit, but nowhere near as much as it should. So, you know, often you'll find that people will cheat because they're just not getting quality time together and they're sick of so much kind of domestic time. So I would say, you know, yes, it's the fault of the person who's cheating as such, but you'll find that, you know, there's often really good conversations that can come out of that and hopefully kind of decisions about how you can either, you know, improve things in your relationship or end it.
Do they usually end after someone has cheated, or can you fully like recover from it?
Do you know what? So like I'm kind of seeing, you know, a mix over the years that, like, you know, a couple of generations ago, women weren't able to leave relationships where the man had cheated a lot of the time. They were going to be outcast by society and often didn't have money of their own or a place to go. So they couldn't leave if their husband cheated. You know, these days, on one hand, I see people accepting more that you can't really expect one person to meet all of your needs. And so in some ways, some people are more accepting of cheating and also making a move in the direction of recognizing different kinds of non-monogamy as being much better options to cheating. And then I'm also seeing, you know, people being like coming down really hard on just like, I don't want to be in a relationship where I don't trust someone and I don't want to have to work at that. And it doesn't feel worth it. So there's also some people who are quicker to end relationships when there's cheating. So I think there's a real mix in there as to how, you know, how people decide to kind of evaluate how much the relationship is worth it to them and whether they're willing to put the work in to rebuild the trust, because absolutely it is possible to rebuild it, but it doesn't mean that that's the case for everyone or you know that will happen if you try. So it's a big risk to take.
How do you learn to trust someone again after cheating?
Oh, this one is really difficult, right? Because often when, you know, you're going to feel really betrayed after you discover that your partner has cheated, you're not going to trust them. You're probably going to want to, you know, control their behavior and want to know what they're doing, you know, and have them kind of prove to you that they're not going to cheat again. And that's really difficult because, you know, you really need to kind of work out, you know, the fact that you've been devalued or feel devalued by your partner, have been told that you're not interesting to them, you know, you're really going to have ways to feel like you matter to each other again and be shown by your partner who's cheated that you, that they value you, that they want to spend time with you and that they care about you. And so that's going to come down to having lots of conversations about how you have, again, sort of quality time together and begin to be able to feel kind of, you know, easy, trusting, open with each other again, which generally takes quite a bit of time.
What are the differences between a one-night stand then and a longer-term affair when it comes to rebuilding trust after cheating, or is it just the same?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, often it's a bit easier when it has been a one-night stand because maybe someone, although obviously it can be very difficult to hear that someone kind of just engaged in a, just cheated because they were really drunk and they don't really remember whether or not that's true, you know, that that can be really painful, of course. But I think the idea of it being a one-off event can be much easier to be able to go, right, how do we kind of put things in place and kind of change up our relationship and really have some serious chats about what it is that we want and need from our relationship. That is probably a bit easier than discovering that someone has been sleeping with someone else and possibly, you know, having a very emotionally involved, if not kind of loving, relationship with someone else for months, years, maybe even decades. So, you know, it's going to really depend. Either way, you're probably going to need the support of a therapist. Ideally, you do get the support of a therapist because it's just often so many things to work through, you know, kind of so many possible like moments of betrayal or senses of, you know, the deceit and the different choices that that people would or could have made. So, yeah, I would say it's generally harder to recover when it's been a long term affair. Mm. But it can also give you more insight into what it is that one or both of you is missing in the relationship and how you might be able to get that back or have that again or rebuild.
I suppose a trauma like this in a relationship can really instigate conversations moving forward. And I mean, have you seen in your experience couples are better after something like this? I mean, after a lot of work, but better in the relationship because it opened up the conversations as to maybe why they were seeking something elsewhere?
Definitely. You know, definitely. Obviously, I don't wish it on anyone that they would have the experience of cheating because, you know, of course it can be, you know, traumatic and just, you know, immensely destabilizing and disruptive and can trigger all sorts of, you know, old, you know, early life kind of wounds that people have around trust and, you know, those sorts of things. But, you know, very regularly when people are willing to put in the work, then they do find that they learn a lot more about themselves, their partner. They can often have much more fulfilling relationships with each other. And it often stimulates people to be much more kind of active in their lives. Now, again, I'm not suggesting that the person who's cheated tries to spin the angle that this is going to be better for the relationship. Mm. Of course not. That's going to go down like an absolute lead balloon. But, you know, I do see people all the time find ways to have new chapters to their lives and to their relationships. Even if that is deciding that they're going to kind of consciously uncouple, you know, or break up with each other, that they're doing that with, you know, more clarity about what it is that they need, that they really can't get from that relationship or partner, or that they can't move on trust wise. But they feel clear in that. So, you know, you're probably going to learn a lot about communication yourself and probably be able to have a lot of things to take forward into other relationships if you do break up. And, you know, even if you stay together for a few years and eventually break up, that doesn't mean it was a failure, because, you know, I think we really need to change that notion that relationships kind of ending means failure, when you could have been together and had an amazing time for 6 months, 6 years, 60 years. And just because it ends doesn't mean it failed.
Absolutely. I've a couple of texts in here, both kind of asking the same thing or saying the same thing. One says, does she believe that once a cheater, always a cheater? And another person says, narcissistic people will cheat. My ex-husband cheated 3 times that I know of in an 18-year relationship.
Yeah,
so
okay,
what do you think of that? I mean, is that a red flag? If you know someone has a history of cheating, is that a red flag going forward?
Yeah, so it's a bit like, do leopards ever change their spots, is the kind of question here,
yeah.
I think. And, you know, to that, I would say, if you know someone has serially cheated, that's a bit different to, you know, finding out that they cheated once in their last relationship and they have a lot of regret over that. And they've really put in a lot of effort to make sure that that doesn't happen again and figure out why it happened or if that happened in your relationship. But yeah, if someone's showing a pattern of having done that, which obviously most people are not going to admit, but if you happen to find that out, either because you have contact somehow with their ex-partners, maybe you're in the same community, or, you know, I don't know how you might come across that information. Ideally, it's not by snooping, but, you know, sometimes that is how people discover this. If it is a pattern, then it's probably fairly, you know, again, it's not impossible that people will change, but it's probably fairly unlikely unless they have a massive incentive to change. Because, yeah, sometimes people have cheated, you know, in their kind of teens and early 20s, maybe because they hadn't quite figured out their kind of relationship style. They didn't know yet what sort of partners they were compatible with. Maybe they struggled with their, you know, sexuality and, you know, didn't yeah. know yet that they were maybe bisexual or gay or whatever it was. And so there could be lots of reasons why people are cheating kind of earlier on in their lives when they're, you know, less mature and, you know, our brains haven't fully developed and formed yet. But if that's something that you're seeing as a pattern throughout someone's life, then yeah. And the same with people with high levels of narcissism, which, you know, inherently means very low levels of empathy. You know, it is much easier for people who are highly narcissistic to cheat, in my experience, because they just don't empathize with their partner. They don't really care,
they don't care
or think about the fact that they would be betraying, harming, hurting, devastating their partner. And so people who are kind of high in narcissism as a trait do tend to be much more likely to cheat for that reason, because they just literally don't care about about causing their partner pain. So that is, you know, that is a point for sure.
Okay. Text just in. Hi, Jen and Rachel. I found out that my husband was going to escorts. He said he went to one and never went through with anything. How do I trust him after that?
Yeah, so again, you're coming back to having to really take the time to work out together, like, what is it that's leading this person to want to go elsewhere? Is it feeling, you know, resentful in the relationship? Is it feeling unappreciated? Is it not getting quality time? Is it feeling, you know, a lot of people cheat because of the person that they feel they get to be when they are with this other person, whether that's a sex worker, whether it's, you know, just someone that they meet at work or someone that they meet off a dating site. You know, people often have sides to them that we don't get to kind of explore or feel comfortable with. You know, we don't generally feel comfortable with every part of us with our partner. And so it can often be that this side is getting to be explored, which can be very exciting and fulfilling for the person. You know, and again, it comes back to, we can't really expect one partner to meet all of our sexual, emotional, kind of, you know, relational needs. And so that doesn't have to mean that we all need to be non-monogamous, but it does mean we're going to need to be quite clear with ourselves and have, you know, learn the skills of being able to understand ourselves and be able to communicate that to other people so that we can work out, you know, does it make sense for our relationship that we would be, you know, maybe romantically monogamous and we still, you know, are in a kind of like hierarchical love relationship, but we maybe have casual sex the odd time with other people because we really enjoy how that makes us feel. Or maybe it's not even the two people in a relationship that are kind of choosing the exact same model for themselves. But, you know, those are kind of ideas for how to, you know, where you're going to need to go, because it's not going to be a case of, you know, he tells me this, he does this, and then I can somehow 100% trust him again. It's about learning to understand yourself and each other better and take it from there.
Last question, because I think it's an important one. If you try and make it work after your partner's cheated, how can you talk to your friends and family so they don't hate your partner?
This one's really difficult, right? Because obviously you want your friends and your family on your side. And often, especially if you've had maybe you've taken a break from each other after the discovery of the you know, infidelity of the cheating, you know, your friends and like family are probably going to be like, oh my God, that person's, you know, an a-hole, and you need to get away from them. And so, you know, you're probably going to have to say to people, look, we're, you know, this is a really hard time. I really appreciate your support. And we're trying to work out whether we can make this work with each other. And so I would really appreciate if you, you know, kind of commiserated with me, but didn't sort of judge my partner, because it makes it really difficult to feel like I can get support when I know that you're just going to see them really negatively. And so, you know, I respect that you're probably going to have certain feelings about my partner, but I would love if we could, you know, if I could feel like I could be open with you about the kind of challenges of that and the attempts to kind of, you know, improve things so that I, you know, you have my back and you're on my side kind of no matter what, if that's possible, which some people are not going to be able to do. They're just going to go, look, I'm not going to be actually able to talk to you about this. I'm so sorry, because it's too painful knowing how, you know, badly I think of your partner. And other people are going to be like, right, fair enough, that makes sense, I'm here for you, I've got your back, so, you know, let me know how I can support you, which hopefully will make it a lot easier.
And if they do it again, you have my permission to break their legs or something like that, along those lines, something along those lines. Anyway, interesting stuff, always a pleasure, Rachel. Thank you so much for joining me again today for our therapy session. Rachel Cook is a psychotherapist and mental health consultant. She is on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end if you want to get in touch. And she will be back with us next week to look at whether we are in a sex recession.
Gem Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.